Father, here we are again, humbly and reverently bowed down before you. And Lord, greatly needing your help. Not only do I need your help, Lord, but the people out there need it as well. And Father, we just pray that God will come by his Holy Spirit and speak this powerful word into our hearts and into our lives and do it for your glory and for your honor in Jesus' name. You know, it's an interesting fact that the greatest news that the world has ever heard is quoted here in verse 1 and chapter 15 there by the enemies of Jesus. You can see that. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man," verse 2 I should say, "this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Isn't that wonderful? This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them. And friends, could I say that's the greatest news in the world? Greatest news in the world for you this morning. If you're here, you're not a Christian. Still in your sin. There's no better news in all the world than this. Greatest news in the world for people who live in Uri. Doesn't matter where they're coming from. There's nothing better than this. The tax collectors and sinners, in the eyes of society, were the dregs. That's who they were. Nobody cared for them. Nobody seemed to want to be have anything to do with them. The tax collectors, they're working for the Roman government. They're taking money from their own people and giving it to a foreign power, robbing them. And just imagine making themselves rich on the backs of their own people. And the sinners that are referred to here are those practicing prostitution and living in all other sorts of immorality. You just imagine that for a moment. But if anything strikes you about this crowd, it's this, that there's a felt need for a change among them. Here they are, and they're coming around Jesus. And they want to hear, what does this man have to say? Because I'll tell you, whatever he's saying strikes a chord in their heart. It strikes something in their heart that they feel this is real. That there's something real about this. And there's a tremendously felt need for a change. You know, I believe that there are many people in our world today like that. They feel that there's a felt need for a change. They would love to have a change. A longing in their hearts that things might be different. That God might come and do something. That something might happen to them. That things might be different. If only they could go back. People think like this. If only they could go back and change things. And isn't that true? How many people think would love to go back and start all over again? You can't do that. Not able to do that. You can't go back and start over all over again. And this man, Jesus, that they were listening to, had talked about that. He talked about being born again. John chapter 3 and verse 7. Talked about being born again, getting a new start, beginning again. You know, someone who can deal with the past and give you a new start just where you are today. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Just where you are right now, you can start again. He can deal with the past. Doesn't matter what it's been like. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past, what you've got into in the past. He's able to deal with the past and able to give you a new start. Can't go back. You're not able to go back now. But you're able to start again with Jesus. I want you to keep that in mind because it's tremendously important. Able to forgive your past. He's able to give you a new beginning. And so it's no wonder that these tax collectors and sinners are gathered around him. Boy, if only somebody could deal with the past. Now, I remember a woman coming into my Bible study one time. when I was in Kilkenny and she came in and she wasn't young, and she just, when we were doing the Bible study, she started to weep. Cried the whole way through it. And after it was over, she went out and came back the next week and she just wept through it again. Through the whole thing. And one of the girls in the Bible study got talking to her and said to her, would you like to go for a cup of coffee? And took her for a cup of coffee. And then she came back the following week again. Same thing. And I said to her, could I have a talk with you sometime? She said, yes. And I said, where do you live? And she told me where she lived, and I shall come and see you. And I went out to the house, and I said to her, you know, I'm glad to see you at the Bible study. You've been struggling there, haven't you? And she said, yes, I have. And I remember I said to her, what's the struggles? And she told me a story. She said, when I was a young girl, I left here and I went to England to work as a nurse. And she said, I got pregnant to a doctor who was already married. And she said, I couldn't come home. She was an only child in a Catholic family. Couldn't come home. And she said, I had an abortion. She said, I thought when I had the abortion, great. That's just great. No problem. Able to come home and nobody knew a thing about it. But she says, as I went on, I began to see children. And she said, I remember thinking to myself, if my wee boy had lived, that's how old he would be now. If my wee boy had lived, he'd be a teenager now. And the guilt. And the guilt and the guilt and the guilt in her life. And she ran everywhere. She ran to everybody. And she tried to get rid of it. She would have given anything to get rid of it. She had plenty of money. And when she came to the hotel, she heard the good news that Jesus Christ forgives sinners. Can deal with your past and give you a new start. He can clean the slate. And see, that's what people desperately need. Their past dealt with. But the other crowd in the story here, they didn't need a new start. They thought they were fine just the way they were. They didn't need a savior. They didn't need their past dealt with because they thought they were all right. You see, maybe you're like that today. Maybe you think that you don't need your sin dealt with. That you're okay. See, that's how our world is today. How society is. There are those who long for a real and permanent change in their life. Long to be rid of their sin. And then there are those who feel no need of a change. They feel that they're all right just the way they are. Because they think that they're good enough. And so Jesus tells the parable. Or the parables in the light of all of this. Tells the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And the stories are extremely simple. But at the same time, they're extremely profound when you look at them. The thing that seems to stand out in both of these parables is the fact that the lost sheep and the lost coin don't seem to amount to very much. What's one lost sheep? You've got another 99. What's one lost coin when you've got 9 more in it all? Doesn't seem to be very important. In the eyes of the world out there, it would seem to be very unimportant. And yet, in the stories, the sheep is of great importance to the shepherd. And the coin is of great importance to the woman. And we know that because of verse 6 there and because of verse 9. Let me read them to you. And he goes home, and then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And in verse 9, "And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.'" Wonderful. It may not be very good news for you today to remind you that in the grand scheme of things, you don't matter to too many people. Do you know that? I want to say that to you now. I don't care who you are, but you don't matter to too many people. I tell you, when you die, you'll be missed by a few people here and there, close family and people like that, but you shouldn't be forgotten about. You know that. I want to try and keep you in mind of that because it's tremendously important. There are not too many people in this world who will be concerned about your lost spiritual condition. You know, before I became a Christian again, I believe that God taught me a tremendous lesson in this whole business. I used to play football, and a wee boy that I played football with got killed. He got killed at the wheel of a car, and there may have been drink involved in it as well, and he was killed in the Sydenham bypass in Belfast one Friday night. He didn't turn up for the football on Saturday, and people just automatically thought he was sick or injured or something like that. But he had died at the wheel of a car. And they buried him in Dundonald Graveyard in Belfast, and I went along to the funeral, and I wasn't a Christian at the time, and I can remember the funeral service. I didn't remember much about anything like that, usually. But on this particular day, the man who was conducting the funeral read these words out of the Bible. I didn't even know there were the Bible. Do you know that? But he read these words. "The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, and for they quickly pass and we fly away." And I was standing there, and I was freezing cold, and I remember thinking to myself as I stood there, I thought, do I have to live like this for another 40 or 50 years? I was in my 20s at the time. Do I have to live like this for another 40 or 50 years? I was miserable. And I can remember those words grasping me and taking a hold of me. And we walked out of the graveyard, and we came back to a club. And all the boys in the football team sat around the table, and they started to drink. And we were probably going at it for about an hour, and when somebody started to tell a joke. And I can remember that as clear as I'm standing here at the moment, that God said to me, and I believe it was God said to me, "That's how important Ronnie was. And that's how important you are. Nobody. You don't really matter to too many people." And I was converted shortly after that, by the way. Came to a real faith in Jesus. But this is the Spirit of God working. And I want to tell you this morning that you do not matter to too many people. There are not too many people in this world who are concerned about your spiritual condition. I'll tell you, if you're lost this morning and still in your sin, and not too many people are concerned about that. Do you know that? I can know people who have been dying, and people have said to me, "Don't talk to them about the gospel because you'll annoy them." In other words, let them die in their sin. And so I want you to think about that because it's tremendously important. But the sheep is important to the shepherd. And we can see that. Just as the coin is important to the woman. And friends, this morning you're important to God. You are now. You are extremely important to God this morning. And so Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep. And suppose in many ways the parable is as much about the shepherd as it is about the sheep. The Pharisees, they were supposed to be shepherds, but they cared nothing for the sheep. Failing to give any sort of guidance at all, they mirror religion, if you like, right down to our day. The rules are the most important thing in religion. Whatever you do, don't break the rules. Those are the most important things. And God's word becomes secondary in it all. You know, I tell you, this might sound a bit funny and crazy, but I had a friend. He was a Catholic fella. And he went along to confession. And he told the priest that he was robbing stuff out of the infirmary he worked for. He was stealing stuff. And it was a scam he had going. And the priest said to him, "Well, tell me, is it a big firm?" And he said, "Yes, it is a big firm." He said, "Well, that's all right," he said. "It's coming off a broad board. And it's all right. As long as you know, just you keep coming to Mass and doing your best, you'll be all right." And I remember him telling me that. He had become a Christian at the time. And I remember him telling me about, you know, the rules were the important thing. Let us think this morning, just for a moment now, about this lost sheep. You see, the sheep is lost, and let me tell you, it has no idea that it's lost. You know that? It just simply drifts away. It's blind to any danger that it might be in, or any danger that it might come across its path. And let me tell you that it has no thought for the shepherd whatsoever. The shepherd doesn't matter to the sheep. It has no thought for the shepherd whatsoever. And the fact that the good shepherd is concerned about the sheep doesn't come into its mind. Doesn't now. Doesn't matter to it one bit. It's oblivious to everything except the next tuft of grass that's set before its eyes. This is the reality now. It just eats and moves, and goes on and on and on, just eats and moves. That's what it's doing. It sees no danger. It doesn't think of wolves. It doesn't think of pits. It doesn't think of thorns, or it doesn't think of briars. It has no idea how to protect itself from wild animals or from disease or from anything else. And listen now. If left to its own devices now, just left alone, it's going to die a dreadful death. That's the reality. This sheep is not going to survive. It's going to die. And we can see from a human point of view this morning that it's stupid. Now we can. We're able to see that. Say to the children, it's not surprising you never see a sheep in a circus. Stupid animal. Just wouldn't be able to teach it anything. That's the reality of what we see here. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That we wander through life, not knowing where we're going. That's how we are. We wander through life. Don't want anybody to ask us, where are you going? We're worse than the lost sheep. For we think that we're in control. We do. We think we've got it under control. I'll be all right. I can drive my car at 80 miles an hour and I'd be all right. I can do this and I can drink and I can do this and I'll be all right. That's how we are. We think we're in control. And this is the verdict of the Bible on every one of us. That we're lost and that we are in great danger in it all. One breath away from being cut off from God in it all. Being cut off from heaven. And the good shepherd is searching for us. Searching for you this morning. We've been searching for you for a long time. And maybe as you sit here this morning, you're in all sorts of bother. All sorts of trouble. And I'll tell you, you won't turn unless you are in that sort of trouble. And you know, Jesus says a wonderful thing. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. And maybe for the first time in your life, you're beginning to hear the shepherd's voice. And he's saying to you, look, you can come. You can have your past dealt with. You can have a future that's secure. You can get onto your road that's going to take you to heaven. But you've got to come. God's speaking to you. And through those things, he's concerned for us. Concerned for you. Doesn't want you to be lost. And I wonder, are you a lost sheep this morning? In all sorts of trouble. And boy, just longing to be rescued. It's a wonderful place to be now. Let me tell you that, because there's a rescuer at hand. If there was no hope for you, it would be awful, but there is hope for you. Turn your heart. As I said, maybe you're increasingly aware that the Good Shepherd is near. Maybe for some time now you've been aware of that. The Good Shepherd is near. And then we see the woman in verse 8 has lost a coin. And again, it doesn't mean much to anybody else. It's a coin. But it's precious to her. I want you to be able to understand this as well, because that's important. You see, the coin lies in the darkness somewhere. It lies in the dirt and in the grime of the earth. Just earthen floors in those days, and the coin's lying there somewhere. In all the dirt and all the filth there. But a light is shining. That's the wonderful thing here. The light is shining, and it is being carefully searched for. But somebody's taking great care to search for this coin. It's lying there, and it's marred. And the inscription on it is unrecognizable. And that's important that we need to understand that as well. Just like all of us. Here we are this morning, made in the image of God, the holy God. There's something about of God upon every one of us, every human being that was ever born, made in the image of God. But because of sin, we become unrecognizable. But I tell you, it would be hard to see God in those fellows who killed those people in Spain or in Finland. Hard to see God in those people in America, and that whole racial thing. Hard to see God in those people. But this woman searches. And here we are this morning because of the effect of sin upon our lives. Hard to see God in us. Maybe you're living with people at the minute and your family, and they tell you they couldn't see God in your life. Not able to see that. People that you work with couldn't see God in your life because you're marred. You're covered with the grime of sin. Can't see it. But the woman will find the coin. She'll search carefully for it until she finds it. When she finds it, she sees the state that it's in. She won't discard it. I want you to remember that today. She won't throw it away. She won't say, look, you're such a mess, I won't take you back. Won't do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're backslidden. And sin has got into your life again, and you're a mess this morning. And you're marred and you're scarred. God loves you. He doesn't say you've gone too far and I won't take you back. He doesn't say that. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Mercy's never come to an end. Curse for you. Doesn't matter what your life is like. As I will tell you, friends, this morning, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. That God can take the broken things and the marred things of this world. He can clean them up. Make them look like new again. It's the most wonderful thing. The Bible says, therefore, if any man or any woman be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's God's word. Take you and make you new. And say to you this morning, don't go on the way you are. Stop and have a think about where you are at the moment. God's looking for you. The greatest news of all is that when we repent and turn to Jesus, here's what the Bible says again, chapter 15 there and verse 7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Sheep didn't seem like much to most people. You old coin, nobody would have been bothered with it. But I tell you, they were precious to the people who loved them, who owned them. Sheep was precious to the shepherd. The coin was precious to the woman. And friends, this morning, you're precious to God. You're precious to Him. He couldn't have done more to save you than He has done. Sent His Son, His only Son. John the Baptist called Him the Lamb of God, the innocent one. You wouldn't hurt a lamb. You wouldn't do that. None of us would do that this morning. You wouldn't do it. We took Jesus and we kneeled Him to a cross. Coming to search for you. Would you turn your heart to Him today? Would you turn your life over to Him? Would you be willing to stand up and say, that's me, I'm the lost sheep. I'm lost coin. You couldn't see God in me if you tried. But I believe He can take me just the way I am. And He can clean me up and He can give me a new start. You're able to do that if you come to Him. Couldn't help this week thinking about Bruce Forsyth dying. Read in the paper that his parents had been Salvation Army people. And as I was preparing this, I thought to myself, I wonder how many times he heard this story. The shepherd looking for the sheep. But he wanted to entertain the world. He wanted to spend his life dancing and entertaining the world. And the days in eternity, 89 years given to him to get right with God. Friends, I tell you, don't be foolish.
Don't have the mentality of the sheep. If you hear the shepherd's voice speaking to you, turn. Well, in mercy, he's calling. Turn. Don't go on the way you are. Put your trust in him. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you again this morning for your presence. Thank you again for your word, and thank you again for God. Thank you again for the Holy Spirit, Lord, who alone can carry these things into our hearts and to our lives and speak to us. The one who's able to save us to the uttermost if we come to him. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you will speak and speak on. And Father, do that which only God can do. And we ask it all in Jesus' name now and for his sake.